Hello, this is Eileen for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and I am here with Angela Kaufman. She is an author located in Saratoga Springs, and we will be discussing her new book, Murder in the Gilded City. How are you, Angela?
I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. I'm very happy to have you here again with us, and I'm excited about this new book. So, what is your new book about? Please tell us.
Oh, thank you. Murder in the Gilded City is a crime novel. It's fiction, and I don't want to give away any of the spoilers. So I'll just say it's about a community's reaction to a violent attack at a beloved local landmark, and it takes place in and around Saratoga Springs. It follows the aftermath of this attack, and it shows the conflicting interests in the area through the lives of the people impacted by the attack. So, on a large scale, it's about how we look for justice and how we're usually failed by the systems that are supposed to bring, quote unquote, justice. But does that mean justice doesn't exist? I don't know. As I was writing it, I tried to explore that through the book.
And you said it takes place in Saratoga Springs. Is it based on actual people and events?
There are a few things people will recognize, such as references to the racetrack and Congress Park and, Stewart's shops and things like that. And if you've been following the backlash against activists in Saratoga Springs this past year, some of it may kind of resonate in that way, but it's not based on that. It's actually the initial draft was finished before the incidents of this past summer even took place. And those incidents that I'm referring to are the police targeting Saratoga Black Lives Matter. So there are references to Black Lives Matter and protests, but that's because these are things that have been part of the community, and racism, unfortunately, is part of this community's legacy. So there are references to that, just because that's real. And there's a group in the book that protests at the racetrack, and in reality, there's a group called Horse Racing Wrongs that has been protesting the track yearly for, wow, probably almost a decade or so, maybe longer. And they've made tremendous progress, but the book is not based on that specific group. I mean, it brings up the same issues, but the characters in the book are not based on the real life organizers or activists that are part of that group. So again, the book shows the clashing of different interests and really the clash between the traditions around here, such as the racetrack, and the business interests, and progress, such as activists, and people trying to change things.
And why not just write about the actual corruption that is being exposed? Why write fiction?
For two reasons. People, sad but true, people pay more attention to stories than they do to facts. Also, when some aspects of the book started to actually take shape, such as in the book, there's this campaign of retaliation against the protesters that are, the fictional protesters in the book. When that started to get too close to mimicking what was happening in real life, I actually thought of not continuing with editing and putting the book out there, because to me it's important that somebody does tell the story of what is actually happening here with, the corruption, the attacks against Black Lives Matter protesters. That is an important story to tell, and that story should be told in nonfiction and also in fiction. But I'm not the person to tell that story. There's someone out there who is, and it's just not me. So ultimately, I decided to go ahead with this story because it still sheds light on the corruption. I mean, that was kind of a theme from the beginning, was looking at the corruption in the different interests in the politics and the business interests in the city. And these are, there are serious issues of exploitation, exploiting horses, exploiting the quote unquote essential workers, and so forth, for the sake of creating what is basically a playground for the wealthy.
Wow. And without giving too much away, can you tell us a little bit more about the story?
Sure. So I'll tiptoe around any spoilers. The story opens with a focus on a few characters, and the opening scene is opening day at the track in 2021. And again, I wrote it months earlier, so it was all like, just fiction speculation about what that would look like with people coming back to the track after not being able to because of COVID. So, people are excited to get back out, do things that they like to do. And we get to meet characters from a few different walks of life. There's a teenager named Jesse, whose family is working class, but they live in Saratoga. he's ambitious and he's, you know, he's still in high school, but he's working several jobs because he wants to get out of his dad's house and get a car as soon as possible. And he knows the track is cruel to animals, but he's just focused on how he can make some money. So he sells pink sheets outside the track. And so people who have come to the track, you'll see there's usually young people selling for a couple of bucks these pink sheets that tell you, you know, what the odds are and who's racing and that kind of thing. There's also Levi Kingston, who's a private investigator. And he inherited wealth from his family. So he lives in the city of Saratoga Springs, but you know, he inherited money and some real estate, but he also inherited a legacy, and that legacy haunts him. And as the story goes on, you learn a little bit more about his family and that they were part of the establishment, which basically means for white affluent people, that means they were part of things that, you know, he now has to contend with, the white supremacy, the racism, the classism, and that kind of thing. So he symbolizes the turmoil that white people have to reckon with. You know, what is the legacy of white supremacy, among other things, and how do white people continue that legacy, or how do we break those cycles? So he's working on a missing persons case, a missing teenage girl, and he stumbles into investigating this other violent attack. Meanwhile, the aftermath of the attack sort of has this radicalizing effect on Jesse. So it kind of brings out this other side of him. There's this journey of those who have to recover and experiencing this changes them. The people who survive the attack, there's one character in particular, her name's Kristen, and going through the trauma, first of the attack and then of having to like sort out her life. She's a newly graduated high school, former high school student. So she's a young person still. And this all happens just as she's, you know, celebrating her big kickoff before college. And so surviving this attack really changes everything about her life. And she has to put the pieces back together. And it also leads her to ask some questions about who she is and that kind of thing. And, you know, what kind of person she's been in the past. So as people are going through their different reactions to this attack, we see how the politics plays out in the city and how the business interests in the town sort of leads to an initial reaction that actually brings out more questions than answers.
This sounds like a great, great book.
Thank you.
Certainly one that I would love to read with all the activism and all that is exposed. I can't wait. And how can people get your book?
It's available for order online. And so I strongly encourage people to order through a website called indiebound.org. Basically, when you go to that website, you can type in your zip code or your address, and it will bring up independent bookstores near you. And you can order it through any of those independent bookstores. So I like to support that site because that helps us support local bookstores. It is also available on Amazon, and if it is requested in bookstores like Barnes & Noble, they might carry it. But when it comes to indie authors and indie publishing, usually it's a little easier on the bookstores to just order it, you know, as requested online. So it is also available at Barnes & Noble's online as well for order.
Are you doing any book tours?
As for author events and things like that, I'm looking into the possibility of scheduling some events for 2022, but because of COVID, still kind of up in the air, not quite sure what that will all look like, but definitely I really miss doing book tours and putting together some ideas on how to get back on the road again safely when the time comes.
I can't wait for other books. I mean, you are.
Thank you
COVID,
so much.
COVID-19 has sparked the creativity on you. This is the second book while we have COVID, right?
I have to think.
The third.
My mind is blank now. Actually, it's the second book. The other one was like a compilation of short stories. So I don't count it as, you know, it's not a full length novel, but no, you're right. This is the second novel with COVID. It's there's never a dull moment, never a lack of things to write about. If anything, it's harder to write fiction because reality is becoming so off the wall.
It's working. I can't wait to read it. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Oh, thank you. I always love to talk to you.